Hello, everyone. Welcome to Product Magic. My name is Sabina Reese, and I'm a content writer specializing in product management and talent acquisition. I've been working with Ronki for a couple of years now, and it's been such a great experience watching the evolution of her journey from starting her own brand to being featured in popular magazines, speaking at product management events, and to starting her podcast. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Ronki about diversity, inclusion, and belonging and its importance in product management. So let's begin. How are you today, Ronki?
I am awesome now that I am talking to you, my friend. How have you been?
I've been pretty good. Thank you so much for including me again on Product Magic. I always have so much fun doing these with you.
Oh, I'm the lucky one. Thank you for being with me since day one when I was creating my platform. So I'm the lucky
day
one.
Day one. Quite a while.
I know. I still remember our first conversation, right? Yeah. I still remember it. So
yeah, I think that was actually almost 2 years ago.
Exactly.
Next 2 years month. Today. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you think you'd be stuck with me 2 years later?
Absolutely, I did.
No, I'm the lucky one. So thank you for being along the journey. So,
oh, thank you. All right. So as I mentioned today, I am here to ask you some questions about diversity, inclusion, and belonging in product management. Are you ready to begin?
Let's rock and roll.
All right. So first, what steps can organizations take to create a diverse and inclusive environment that fosters a sense of belonging for all employees?
That's a great question, actually. And, This came up at the Chief Product Officer Summit, the conference that I spoke to actually early mm-hmm. March. A couple of things. Number one is the hiring, recruiting, right?
Right.
We need
right.
to make sure that we are recruiting from all communities, not just certain communities, mm-hmm. right? How do we recruit from marginalized communities or, you know, in general? Well, that means also we can make the job description really hard. So
yeah,
to give you an example, product management job descriptions sometimes has in there that you need to have an MBA and you don't necessarily need an mm-hmm. MBA to be a product manager.
Right.
So when you have MBA required, what does that do? It weeds out a bunch of candidates, right?
They don't even apply for it. Who could be qualified. Yeah.
Exactly. Who could be qualified? Another one is on job descriptions, we put computer science major required in. Mm-hmm. No, you don't need that. Not for
don't need it.
A role. Same thing, by putting that computer science degree required, you weed out a bunch of candidates that also could be great.
Yeah.
Intern programs, we need to make sure it's open to more diverse candidate. We need to go to historical Black colleges to recruit, mm-hmm. Aspiring product managers. We need to do a better job of reaching out into these communities to actually go find candidates for product management. And the reason why it's so important is because we need as many diverse voices in the room when we're building products, because we're not building, especially if you're building a global product, you're not mm-hmm. building that global product just for a segment of the population.
Yeah,
you're building
for everybody.
It for everybody. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you need people who look like them, who think like them, who walk like them at your table, giving you sharing ideas.
Yeah.
So that's just one. The other one is, if there is somebody who looks like me in your leadership role in your company, I'm likely to stick around.
Yeah.
Because I want to be mentored by that person.
Absolutely.
Because I see someone that looks like me, right? So mm-hmm. that's another thing. If I don't see someone who looks like me in your leadership, what does that tell me?
Yeah.
Right?
Not the best thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not the best thing. So I really, I really believe that we need diverse voices to build for everybody. And so we have to figure out a way to go bring more voices in so that it's not the same people over and over again, because we're not building for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the world is such a diverse place and, you know, we need to represent that.
Well, and also if you look at it, right, there's 8 billion people in the world and counting, right? Over 8 billion people in the world.
Crazy, yeah.
Exactly. The demographics are changing every single day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because because those demographics are changing every single day, their needs are changing every single day. The demographics look like me. They look like you. They look like so many different people. their needs are changing every day. So how are you going to meet those people where they are? Because they're not going to come tell you what they need.
No,
right?
Definitely not.
You got to go. Exactly. You got to go figure out what they need, where they are. Well, you need people who look like them.
Yeah. Who had the same experiences, the same upbringing. Yeah.
The same background, the same circumstance, the same lived experiences. And the other thing is interview questions. We make it hard. And I don't know why we make it hard. interview questions, the most ridiculous ones I've heard. Like, to give an example, how many golf balls are in a 747?
Well, are you serious? That's an interview question?
That's an interview question. So my question is this, though. What if that person comes from an environment where they've never flown on a plane before?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What if they come from an environment where they've never golfed before?
Yeah, exactly. And many people haven't.
And many people haven't.
Yeah.
So think about that interview question, right? Like, yeah. Or another one is, how many BMWs are in Chicago?
Wow.
What if they come from an environment where nobody in their neighborhood or family ever owned a BMW?
Yeah, those interview questions are definitely catering towards a specific demographic.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, wow, I had no idea.
Level the playing field. Change the interview questions. There are ways to figure out a candidate's product sense, and do root cause analysis questions without, you know, asking those types of questions, I think.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. There are ways to just do a better job of recruiting.
Yeah. I mean, what product manager needs to know how many BMWs are in a specific state? Well, like, that's like a little bit crazy.
Well, I'm going to also blow your mind. What also amazes me about those questions are those framework questions. When you become a product manager in real life, mm-hmm. like in your real life as a product manager,
yeah.
those framework questions are 0.001% of what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, the I most can't see that being relevant thing, at all.
No, well, the most important thing you're going to be doing as a product manager in your real life most of the time is you're cultivating relationships. You're
Absolutely.
Building relationships.
Yeah.
You're working, because if you work in a big company, you have 10 cross-functional, at least 10 cross-functional partners that you are going to have to bring, galvanize and bring with you to go build your products, right?
Mm-hmm.
Large organizations, we're talking about the team called risk, compliance, legal, privacy, policy. All of these teams have their own roadmap. They have their own ideas of what they need to do. And you come along and you go, guys, I need to build this thing. Here's how it's going to matter to my customer. Help me build it. And there's a lot of relationship, a lot of negotiation, a lot of cultivating of relationships you have to bring. You have to do, because you need to bring them with you along in that journey rather than tell them what to do. So think about that. As a product manager in a large organization, you're cultivating relationships to mm-hmm. get your product built. In smaller organizations, you're still cultivating relationships with your cross-functional partner. Right. So the frameworks for those questions, those interview questions, are going to be 0.001% of what you're going to be doing.
Exactly.
So why make it hard for me to get a job as a PM?
Yeah. Yeah. You really just blew my mind there. That is pretty crazy.
Right.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Well, you know, you learn something new every day, and I completely agree with you. Yeah, those need to be changed.
Exactly. And if we change them, we're going to get more candidates. But from marginalized communities, we're going to be able to build more diverse products. So, more products for diverse people anyway. So,
yeah, makes sense to me. All right. So talking about diversity, in what ways can diversity and neurodiversity in particular contribute to innovation and creativity in the product development department?
Oh, I love this question. So if you have people who come from diverse lived experiences, mm-hmm. diverse circumstances, diverse gender, diverse thought, and you have all of them in your cross-functional team, you're going to bring different ideas to the table to build,
right.
not just for today, but for tomorrow. When neurodiversity comes in is, we all have colleagues who kind of are quiet, or they keep to themselves, or they sort of march by the beat of their own drum.
Mm-hmm.
And people's instincts are, I'm just going to ignore that person.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, don't ignore that person, because they have great ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But
Absolutely.
Bring their ideas to the table and include them and collaborate with them. Because they have great ideas that just mm-hmm. march of their own drum, right?
Right, yeah.
Right. But, and there are customers who, believe it or not, march to the beat of their own drums.
Yeah.
Just like exactly. That colleague. Right. So to build innovative products, to generate ideas that are going to help us to build products that will impact humanity as a whole, you know, for years to come, we need diverse people. You know, we need diverse product managers, diverse cross-functional partners to help us get there. And embracing diversity and neurodiversity is the way to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with the rise of, you know, the importance on autism and ADHD, all of these different neurodiversities. I mean, you need those people on your team to build products for those people in the community that also have those conditions, right? So,
exactly. Rather than just ignoring them.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing with different races, different demographics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all works together for sure.
Exactly. it doesn't help to ignore them because you need everybody's ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this next question is actually one I'm quite interested in. So I was wondering if you could discuss inverse mentoring in the workplace and how it can benefit both individuals and their organizations.
So inverse mentoring means, okay, so usually in organizations, right, a product manager comes in or a junior or aspiring product manager comes in for their summer intern program and they get partnered with somebody in leadership, right? Mm-hmm. But the way it is that person in leadership is telling you what to do, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, here's what you need to do.
The traditional method.
It's a traditional method. That's it. They're what I'm saying. And it's not just me. This is a well-known thing about inverse mentoring is flip it. It should be the other way around where that person in your organization is the one telling you what environment they came from, what their life is like. And you can then figure out as a leader how to make sure they feel belong. They feel like they belong in your organization, mm-hmm. right? So there's inclusion, yes. I mean, there's diversity, right? Which is diversity is a fact. It's the world is changing. That's just
absolutely.
A fact.
Yeah,
you can't get rid of diversity. It's the world is changing.
Yeah,
that's that. Inclusion though is a choice, mm-hmm. right? You're choosing to be inclusive. You're choosing to hire from marginalized communities. You're choosing inclusive, you know, that to be inclusive. But guess what? Belonging, though, that's the result of all that.
Right. Yeah.
Do I feel like I belong in the organization? Do I feel like my voice can be heard? Mm-hmm. Do I feel like I'm validated?
Yeah.
So inverse mentoring is instead of you mentoring me, how about I mentor you? And I tell you what my circumstances are like, where I came from and how I can and how I want to feel like I belong in the organization and how you can help me do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, so that's very
inverse mentoring.
Yeah.
Flipping it around.
Flipping it around. Yeah. And honestly, I think with the traditional method of just the leader telling the employees what to do, like they're really not getting the full picture, right? And they may not feel safe enough to go up to the leader and say, hey, this is how I need to feel included. Like this is what I need in the workplace. So yeah, very important for sure.
And think about it. You don't know what my circumstances is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You just show up to work and you're like everybody else pretty much, right?
Do you care about my personal ambitions, my professional ambitions?
Mm-hmm.
You know what drives me?
Yeah, exactly.
How would you know that if we don't do inverse mentoring,
yeah.
You see my world.
Exactly.
So.
Awesome. All right. So with the rise of diversity initiatives and everything going on, not even in just product management, but in all areas, what are some metrics that companies can use to measure their success?
I love this question. So I'm going to cheat here. So there's a Business Insider article with a company for Salesforce.
Okay.
A company called Salesforce. And there's a Business Insider article that I love, 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 love. Their CEO also has the same KPIs. And the KPIs are in his leadership team. You must hire, retain, and promote from marginalized communities.
Okay.
That is the KPI. Mm-hmm. They get measured by that. And this includes the CEO. That's his KPI as well. So think about how that KPI is throughout the whole entire organization, all the way to director level, C-level, managers. You have to hire, retain, and promote. So that means you have to go figure out how to hire for marginalized communities, yep. right? Mm-hmm. See, job description. You got to change your job description. Yep. So you got to hire. You have to bring them in, retain them.
Yep.
Means you mentor them, you help them grow. That way they can then have a future in your organization and get promoted. Mm-hmm. That is your KPI.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Imagine if more companies did that.
Yeah, there would be such a difference.
Exactly. So Salesforce.
Salesforce.
That Business Insider. Yeah, that Business Insider article. I'm like, wow, man. Okay. I know. I'm like, okay, they're putting their money where their mouth is. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds great. Maybe we'll link it in our link it in the podcast so other people can read it as well.
I think that's a great idea actually. But I just imagine if more companies did that. That means you're going to historical Black colleges to go higher. That means you're working with organizations that have aspiring product managers that work with marginalized communities to go higher. That means you're getting more people. You are diverse in your organization. You're building for a diverse demographic. It's a win for you at the end of the day, revenue-wise.
So really, it's a win for everybody.
Yeah. Exactly, because you're building for everybody. So
amazing.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time with me to answer all of my questions. I actually learned quite a bit about the interview questions and everything. Really blew my mind. So thank you so much. And I cannot wait for the next podcast.
Thank you, my friend. I can't believe it has been 2 years on our journey.
2 years.
Thank you so much. 2 years, baby. Woohoo.
All right. Thank you so much, Ronki. Talk to you soon.
Bye.